How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We are live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators hosting the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. All of your pregame coverage starting right here on 102.5, The Game at 6 p.m. Happy 2024. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. It's a great new year. Great new year.
And today is the one-year anniversary of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. So where's our marching band and everything?
Where are our balloons?
There's balloons.
Our cake.
Mean, exactly. What's going on?
I think they're probably just late.
Yeah, maybe.
It's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Let's assume it's coming.
I think that's fair to assume.
Exactly. So, but yes, it's been 1 year, huh?
One whole year.
Gosh,
time flies when you're having
fun. It is. It does. I don't know why I thought it was next month. But I guess, hey, you know, time does go by fast, and you tend to forget some things. So
it has been an absolute blast.
It's been
a
great
pleasure the past 365 days. So here's year two being even better than year one. And I wish D-Mace that we could start on a better note, considering today is our anniversary.
Yes. Well, we can start off on a better note, which we just did, because we said, happy anniversary to the show. Willie D will be here momentarily. I'm sure he's downstairs with the Preds and taking care of his business for tonight's game. So we can celebrate once he gets up here.
We'll blow the balloons.
Exactly. But other than that, you're right. It hasn't been much to celebrate with this city, other than, the Predators. The Predators are doing unexpectedly well, which is a pleasant thing. But the team on the other side of the river, oh boy.
The Titans are terrible.
Yeah, they you know what, Caroline? Because when we did our predictions at the beginning of the season, I was going back, going between, are they going to be a 9-7 team or will they win more? But I thought because of the AFC South, and I thought Houston was going to be competitive, but I didn't think they would, get into the play. Exactly. I thought Jacksonville would win the division. I thought Indianapolis would be competitive, but I didn't think that they would be in the mix like they are. But I did not think the Titans would be this bad.
I don't think anyone expected this team to be this bad.
And they're bad.
It's the messaging from within. Running it back with Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard. Those were all indications to me that they wanted to win football games this season.
Yes.
That they thought that Ryan Tannehill gave this team the best chance to win football games. This team that we saw on Sunday, of course, the Titans fall to the Houston Texans 26-3 on Sunday, and it was really effectively over midway point through the second quarter.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you had already handed the Houston Texans two touchdowns. And then your quarterback got hurt, and Will Levis, and we'll get into that, and we'll get into big picture. But, the past few games, you could at least look at it and say, man, this team was competitive. This team gave themselves a chance to win, and it just came down to the final few seconds. It just came down to the final few possessions, and they couldn't close it out. How many times have we seen that game from the Tennessee Titans this year where it's competitive until it's not, or it's competitive and they're in this game and they had a chance to win and they just couldn't close out a few things? It was a few, self-imposed errors, whether it's penalties or turnovers, whatever it might be, and it's a narrow loss. And they fought hard, but they ended up losing the game. That was not what I saw on Sunday.
No, that was embarrassing. It truly was embarrassing. This is the team that they lost to 2 weeks prior when they didn't have their quarterback. They didn't have their rush end. They didn't have neither of their receivers. They were missing an offensive lineman, I believe, or two. and they couldn't beat that team. And I think the fear was, you know, once they get half of these guys back, would it be a game that they would walk into and take over immediately? Mm-hmm. I didn't think it would be that way. I thought that, listen, this is a division game. Mm-hmm. They just got their tails beat. You know, they got physically outmanned at home. So they were going to come back as sort of like the redemption game. You know, whether win or lose, but we're going to come back and we're going to play much tougher.
Right.
And they didn't. Houston showed that they were the dominant team. The Texans showed that they were the dominant team from start to finish. The Titans didn't do anything in that game that made anyone believe that they would have a chance not only to win that game, mm-hmm. but obviously the game here in Jacksonville this weekend. Is it in Jacksonville or is it here?
Jacksonville.
It's in Jacksonville. Or the game.
No, it's not. It's here.
Okay, that would be the last home game.
Yeah.
So they didn't do anything. Honestly, I think what happened is they made people realize that regardless of, you know, who's coaching this team and how good they may think Mike Vrabel is, this team is not equipped to win.
No.
They're not equipped. Again, we did the show last week and then end up doing the pregame show. And what I wanted to see, I picked Houston to win, the Texans to win, but I didn't think it was going to be a blowout. But I said, if it's a blowout, then that may change some things, especially from the national narrative, mm-hmm. because you went in, you know, you had your quarterback, you were essentially as a team healthy, other than a few guys on defense that you were missing. But from an offensive standpoint, you were healthy. Now, I mean, the offensive line, they are who they are. But Houston came out and they just flat smacked you in the mouth.
They embarrassed you. That was embarrassing for the Tennessee
Titans. That's one of those losses where sometimes, or maybe it just may change mm-hmm. the way those that are making decisions think. And when I say that, I mean Amy mm-hmm. and anyone that she, you know, looks to for advice in regards to her team. A loss like that against your arch rival, that makes you think about some things.
You ever step away from a game and say, that's the kind of game that gets a coach fired?
Yeah.
That's the kind of game that gets mm-hmm. a player fired, mm-hmm. a quarterback loses his job, whatever it might be.
Uh-huh.
That's how I stepped away from that game against Houston. That's the kind of game that gets a team, or that gets a coach fired, because it was that bad and it was that embarrassing. And mm-hmm. I think that the opponent has to be considered here.
Because
uh-huh. think about the last time the Titans played the Texans. Here at Nissan Stadium, you're wearing the Oilers uniforms, all the pomp and circumstance, poking the bear a bit, and the Texans took that personal.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans did not take that lightly. You led the Houston Texans, and you allowed them to come back and beat you,
mm-hmm.
and that was embarrassing. I think Amy Adams Strunk got embarrassed, and if she wasn't, I think that she should have been. I think that game on Sunday, even though that a lot of Titans fans out there are thinking, well, you know, that's fine, it's better draft position, mm-hmm. that's fine, the season's over. You know, the season's over anyway, so it doesn't matter. I understand fans feeling that way. Amy Adams Strunk doesn't feel that way. Those coaches don't feel that way. That locker room doesn't feel that way. And that was the first time that I genuinely questioned, does this team care?
Yeah. And again, you know, I know how it can be at the end of the season
mm-hmm.
when you know that you are basically eliminated from any playoff consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I know how a locker room can be, but that's not the way they portrayed it throughout the whole week. They portrayed it as guys locked in, you know, guys playing for something, mm-hmm. you know, we're going out here, it doesn't matter if we're not making it to the playoffs or not, we're playing for pride and all this other stuff. And I get it. Mm-hmm. But when you go out there and give a lackluster performance against a team, because I look at division games like this. Like, you shouldn't get blown out.
No.
Like, division games, you shouldn't get blown out. Why? Because you know each other so well. The games are always going to be close. I don't care if you're a horrible team or a great team. When you play within your division, typically the games are close.
Mm-hmm.
because you know one another.
Designed to be.
Exactly. So I didn't expect this. When you go and play a divisional opponent, whether it be at your place or their place, games should always be close. Not to say that, listen, you're not gonna lose. You may. Mm-hmm. But games like that should always be close. That's why when people say, well, you know, your conference is bad and you should win it. Yes, in theory, but division games are different because you know one another. And roster turnover isn't like 80 or 90% every year. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this 20 to 30% turnover just about every year.
Right.
So even the guys they lose, you still know the core of the guys. You still know who they are. You still know the coordinators. A game should never look like what it looked like this past weekend.
It's unacceptable.
It was unacceptable. It was a lackluster performance. It was lethargic. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just, no matter what you were saying during the week, what you were saying didn't match the way you played. And that falls on the head coach.
And one of the more frustrating things to me is the thing that we talk about every single freaking week with this team. And it's the offensive line. Andre Dillard. And the funny thing is, we talk so much throughout the offseason. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good Andre Dillard's going to be, but it can't be worse than Dennis Daly. Andre Dillard makes Dennis Daly look like an all-pro. Andre Dillard mm-hmm. gets worked every single snap. Will Anderson ate Andre Dillard for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Will Anderson played 12 snaps on Sunday. He had 2 sacks.
Oh, wow.
That is ridiculous. That is unacceptable. And it is unacceptable that the Titans trotted out this offensive line. And I know that this is a 3-4-month-old story uh-huh. about the offensive line, and it's been an issue since week one. But when we talk about how, that's the kind of game that gets a coach fired. That's the kind of performance that gets a coach fired. It's that offensive line that gets a coach fired. Because it now has gotten Will Levis hurt twice mm-hmm. and Ryan Tannehill hurt once and maybe twice mm-hmm. with the way that he looked behind that offensive line on Sunday.
My thing is this. As you go on throughout a season, things never stay the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. And
they've gotten worse.
But we looked at this offensive line. We knew they were bad, and it started off bad. But you thought, like, if you want to get good at something, you do it over and over and over and over again. You know, was it 10,000 hours, something like that? I don't know. But you're supposed to get better, like maybe an increment better. Like, you're not supposed to stay the same, and definitely we don't want you to regress. This offensive line didn't get better.
It's gotten
from
worse.
From game one to now. And that's the disappointing part. And that's the part why I keep, and many on this station, point to the offensive line and the coach. Because I understand that none of these guys are starters. You know, maybe Peter. That's maybe. Right,
but he's maybe.
And that maybe is like a that's a very light maybe. Like, oh my goodness, like maybe not. But they're supposed to get better. The more and more reps you get, the better and better you should become. This team didn't do it, and I put that on the coach. Like, there has to be a point where either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, because to me, if I'm putting you out there all the time, like, and I'm explaining to you, these are the things that you got to do, like working the techniques and everything, and you're not getting it, either you're not getting it or I'm not doing a good job at coaching it. Mm-hmm. But these are grown men. They're not supposed to get worse. They've gotten worse. And that's the part that is just baffling to me. Mm-hmm. I've never, and I will say this honestly, I have never seen or played with an offensive line that has gotten this bad, that got worse through the season, or was this bad. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen, we look at Carolina's offensive line, and they're bad. But I don't know, maybe because we're not there and we're not looking at it, but I'm not sure if this isn't the worst offensive line in all of football.
It's also convenient for me to say, but I feel confident in saying this is the worst offensive line I've ever seen.
Well, it's the worst that I've ever seen.
And the frustrating thing here is this team feels so limited mm-hmm. by what it can do by the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And look, I didn't ever think that the Titans were going to be Super Bowl contenders. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. But how much better could this team have been had the offensive line just been a little bit better? Had left tackle mm-hmm. been addressed adequately, and you at least had that anchor mm-hmm. on that side of the offensive line? Had Will Levis had just a little bit more time to throw? Had this offensive line been able to open up just a few more holes for Derrick Henry? With the number of close games that this team has lost, mm-hmm. It's not crazy to think that this team could still be in playoff contention had the offensive line just been a little bit better, and that falls on Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. And those are all March and April problems. Mm-hmm. And those are all problems that we're going to be talking about now until the draft, through free agency. But that is just the most frustrating thing to me, is how much this team has been handcuffed by this offensive line. Mm-hmm. I saw it, you saw it, Willie saw it, we all saw it in training camp. And Mike Vrabel said, oh, no, it'll be fine. Too much is being made about the offensive line. No, we can run block just fine. That was not an offensive line that could run block just fine to me. That was not an offensive line that could adequately protect the quarterback on Sunday, nor any game this entire season. And that is the frustrating thing, is we all saw it in the offseason. But Mike Vrabel was asked on Sunday about how much he thinks they truly are handicapped by this offensive line. This was Mike Vrabel.
It takes all 11. To make things work on offense, but when you have a position that's so consistently been struggling, like left tackle, how do you feel like you guys have done to kind of help those guys out, and how limiting is it when you have to?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty limiting, and it hasn't, you know, there not every play is like that, but, you know, we'll have to find, you know, ways to protect the quarterback, and whether we're chipping and, you know, leaving guys in, it's, you know, it's hard when you leave a lot of guys in against zone coverage. You know, there's a lot of guys covering, you know, just a couple. So, you know, I think that there's always a balance, and we've talked about some of the things that we need to be able to do. You know, you can run the football, and you can then, you know, run some play passes that have, you know, different blocking schemes, different angles. You know, that's where you can kind of leave guys in, because, you know, you get some sell from the underneath coverage, and then you're able to hit some things behind it or take a shot. So, you know, you have to be able to do some of those things to keep players in. And third down, you know, probably, you know, got to chip once in a while, but you also got to try to get some guys out to help the quarterback.
It just feels like excuses that I don't want to hear anymore, D-Maze. Hey, look, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard. We know where you're going against zone coverage. I don't care. I'm sure it is hard. This is the NFL. It's hard. Do your job. Protect the quarterback. I know I'm sick of it. Mm-hmm. I think the fan base is sick of it too.
Well, they have every right to be sick of it, because this is not just an isolated incident. It's mm-hmm. not just this season. This offensive line was bad last season.
It was horrible.
So this isn't a new problem that just sprung up, mm-hmm. you know, at the beginning of the season. Like, oh my goodness, we got some guys hurt. Oh my goodness, our offensive line. I can see if that was the case. You know, 2-3 guys go down. Mm-hmm. You're trying to figure out, you know, your replacements aren't that good or as good as the starter. So you may struggle at times. But this wasn't the case. This team, these were the problems that they had last year. They knew going into the offseason that they had to address. They didn't address them adequately. And now we're in a situation that we're in where you can't even run, like, basic stuff in your offense mm-hmm. to try to push the ball down the field, because your offensive line can't block for the quarterback. And what it does is this is the problem that, you know, this is the problem that Amy needs to be looking at very closely. And hell, everybody needs to be looking at very closely, because it's not just the offensive line. It's not just that. What you're doing to your young quarterback
yep.
with this offensive line, you're going to cause him to develop bad habits that he then has to work his way out of. I'm sure he developed bad habits this season in front of an offensive line that couldn't throw the ball, where he couldn't scan the field the way he wanted to, where he's throwing off his back foot, things like that. The quarterbacks try not to do. Mm-hmm. They may do every so often because they're getting rushed, but this was a reoccurring thing. This was like a rerun show. That's just what it was. It wasn't
same
a
stuff different
yeah, it wasn't a like a fresh new show where there's something you know, different, like we hadn't seen.
Yeah.
The same things we seen last year, we see this year. It's just, it's like Groundhog's Day. It's just repeat over and over and over and over. And you had a chance to fix it in the offseason. You chose, I mean, I'm not going to say you chose not to, but you didn't address it the way you should have. Or you over-evaluate or under-evaluate who you were bringing in here to play those positions. You can't do that again. You can't. If this, they, to me, this offseason, free agency and the draft should be concentrated solely on beefing up this offense, making this offense an offense that can go out and it, and isn't hampered by certain areas. They could, I guarantee you, they couldn't run half of their playbook because the offensive line can't block.
Probably not.
And that handy, that takes away any imagination that Tim Kelly would want to use as an offensive coordinator. You got to go back to everything being basic. And even when you're basic, there's no promise that you're going to get protected.
And here's the tough thing from the fan base perspective. I don't know what percentage of the fan base trusts Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel to fix the offensive line problems. Problems with the Titans in general. Because it's not, like you said, it's not just exclusive to the offensive line. Mm-hmm. You need to beef up the pass catching core.
Yeah.
You need to beef up the cornerback room. Yes. You're not going to have Christian
Fulton. Linebackers.
You need help everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much this fan base trusts Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel to do that. Mm-hmm. And Amy Adams Strunk's perspective, that's a really scary place to be.
Yeah, it is, but they're going to have to do it. Somehow, some way, you know, they're going to have to, one, address, you know, the guys up front. And listen, we can go over. They have so many areas on this team that they need to address.
We got 3 months to talk
about. Exactly.
We
got 3 months. But if they don't address them, then it's just going to be a repeat of what we've seen for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. An offensive line that consistently gets its quarterback hit. And if you get hit too many times, it's going to put you on the sideline because you're injured. And that's what happened with both of the quarterbacks, that ultimately the pounding on them and getting sacked and everything caused them to get injured, and they were on the bench.
It's difficult to watch. The positive thing, I think, for Titans fans is you got one game left. And then you're done. You're put out of your misery for the rest of the calendar year. But, D-Mace, you brought up about how the national – perspective of Mike Vrabel could change after a game like that. And I'm with you. I'm surprised that the national media perspective hasn't changed on Vrabel yet. I'm shocked at how much in Vrabel we trust sentiment there is from the rest of the national media. But that could be shifting. And it's not necessarily the national media's perspective on Mike Vrabel, but maybe how the national media might think Vrabel feels. And we'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're live at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Visit springhillac.com. Predators in action tonight, hosting the Chicago Blackhawks. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game at 6 p.m. But D. Mays and I were just breaking down the embarrassment that occurred on Houston on Sunday. And D-Mace made the point of that's the kind of game that starts to shift the perspective on the coach. Because we've said that so many times. It's almost been laughable throughout this season where we start to question Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. We start to question how good of a coach he really is. Because when you have a season like this, no stone goes unturned.
No.
No, especially when it comes to the coach. But the national media perspective and conversation continued to be Mike Vrabel is a great coach, and Mike Vrabel we trust. The Tennessee Titans are lucky that they have a coach like Mike Vrabel. But maybe the narrative is shifting. But maybe it's more so the narrative about Mike Vrabel's feelings about Tennessee rather than Tennessee's feelings about Mike Vrabel. So Michael Lombardi, former NFL general manager, has been in the league for a very long time, hosts the GM Shuffle podcast on the DraftKings Network. He, on the most recent episode of the GM Shuffle podcast, talked about that, talked about the relationship between the Tennessee front office and Mike Vrabel, calls it into question. This was Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast.
But look, this Tennessee team's, I mean, this is, and I said this on our show, all that Tennessee nonsense about Vrabel is an underdog, you got to throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Because this team is bad. This offensive line is atrocious. They really have some real issues. And the issues are, how good are they in the front office? And is Carthon and Vrabel going to be able to coexist together? I think that's got to be something talked about. I know Vrabel's contract's up. They want to keep Vrabel. But I think Vrabel's not happy with the setup that he has. I know that they can't be happy with Levis. Like, you can't think that you're going into next year saying, we got Levis, everything's going to be okay. They're in the worst place you could be. They have two young quarterbacks, and they don't have a quarterback. Like, this Tennessee team's going to need a lot of senior leadership to figure it out. And what we've seen from their team, I mean, they signed Diller to a one-year $10 million. He can't even start for them. Right? Their offensive line is an absolute atrocious. They played him yesterday. They started Dillard because the other guy got hurt, but he's terrible, right? This whole offensive line can't block anybody. Henry's not going to come back. Where are we going? Where are they going?
All right, there you go. And that was Michael Lombardi in the GM Shovel podcast. Several different layers to what he just said that I want to get into. Before we get into that, I want to address the source, where this is coming from. I think it's important to remember that Michael Lombardi has Bill Belichick and New England ties. Mm-hmm. And hearing this, that there's maybe not a great relationship between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, that Mike Vrabel might not be happy in Tennessee, that's not the first that we've heard of that. And it's not the first that we've heard of that from somebody with Boston and New England and Bill Belichick ties. Mm-hmm. So let's just keep that into consideration. That maybe take things with a grain of salt if we know or we have an idea of where the sources are coming from, looking at the Ben Volen article in the Boston Globe, and then, of course, the Greg Bedard piece about Mike Vrabel and the possibility of him coming to New England. So let's keep that in mind here. Let's take that with a grain of salt. But what Michael Lombardi brings up is not the first that we've heard about Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel not seeing eye to eye. And he questions if Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon can coexist. I don't know if they can or not, but D-Maze, if they can't, you got to make changes.
Yeah, because typically, you know, in situations like this, the sort of chain of command is, you know, we hire our GM first, and then we allow our GM along with his staff to go out and
get their guy.
Yeah, you know, get their guy, interview their head coach, and bring their guy in. But it didn't work that way. And the more and more I think about it, it hadn't worked that way the last two times. Just think about this. When John Robinson was hired, he didn't hire Mularkey.
No.
Mularkey was already in place. What happened subsequently after that? They fired Mike Mularkey, gets fired.
And undeservingly so.
Undeservingly so. He gets fired. Okay? So now, you know, John is able to hire his guy, which is, okay, great, you did it, and you had some success at doing that. But then ultimately, the owner says, hey, listen, I don't like the direction that we're going in, so I'm going to make some changes. I am going to, you know, go out of protocol and go off script, and I'm going to fire my GM, but still leave my head coach in place. Now, leaving your head coach in place in this situation was good because Mike was – he had the team rolling. So you ain't going to just fire your head coach. But then you hire a GM. And now, if you didn't learn from your mistakes, you're bound to repeat them. It don't seem like the Titans learned that, hey, listen, maybe you shouldn't hire your head coach before you hire your GM.
Right.
Maybe you should hire your GM first and then hire your head coach. But they didn't do it. Second time in a row, they didn't do it. And now it's starting to, you know, people are starting to whisper, like, is that relationship really working? Why? Because they know that the history of this league is you hire your GM and then you hire your head coach.
You have a chain of command.
Exactly, because now your GM is in charge of hiring that guy, his guy. He knows him. Y'all are on the same page. There's no, you know, you're on this page, I'm on this page. No, it's a clear cut. We see it because I hired you. It didn't go that way here. No wonder now there may be some whispers like, maybe it's not working. Mm-hmm. Maybe, just maybe, Mike Vrabel isn't the guy. Why? Because you chose to hire a GM while you already had your coach in place. Usually it's the other way around. So to me, they're just repeating the same cycle. Hiring a coach or having a coach in place and then hiring your GM. Instead of having a clean slate. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to start this over with. We're going to do it in the order that it's usually done in. And listen, doing it in the order that the Titans did it, yeah, it can work. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it can't. But typically, it's not going to work when I can't hire my guy, the guy that I sat down and interviewed. I can't hire that guy. Rand didn't hire his guy. It was almost like Vrabel had a hand in hiring Rand, in a sense. That doesn't – how many times has that worked out in the NFL? I'm sure it hadn't worked out a lot. You know, you don't hire your coach and then fire your GM and then hire your GM again.
And especially not having a clear-cut chain of command.
Exactly.
Of this is who has final say. This is who has veto power. Mm-hmm. And look, I already see it in the text line. There's a lot of people that think that Michael Lombardi is kind of a doofus. I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. But it's important to remember.
But he's speaking truth.
But Michael Lombardi is incredibly dialed into the NFL. Uh-huh. He's hearing this somewhere. He's not just picking this up out of thin air. He's hearing this from somebody that Mike Vrabel isn't happy here or that Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon don't see eye to eye. So whether it's true or not, that's the conversation. And whether it's true or not, it brings up the fair question of, do we think this dynamic is working?
Yeah, and, you know, it's not foolish of us to think that it isn't because of look
this
at what's happening.
Terrible.
Yeah, look at what's happening to this team. So it's not, oh, that's foolish to think that it's not working. Well, tell us that why you feel it is working. Because what we're looking at, whatever y'all did in the offseason, it ain't working. And it doesn't seem like, you know, 100% y'all are on the same page in regards to, you know, personnel and bringing guys in. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be something done. And, hey, listen, if she chooses not to fire anybody, okay, it's her team. Mm-hmm. Get it. But you can't then expect your fans to be all in the next following year when you haven't given them anything to be all in for. The last two seasons, you've missed the playoffs, and you've been horrendous. And they've made excuses nationally for this organization. I'm not going to even say the head coach. They've made excuses for this organization for the last two seasons, and we all know why, because of the head coach. Mm-hmm. It comes to a point where you got to stop making excuses. Now, again, I'm not asking them to fire anyone, but if you don't get it right this time, this offseason, if you don't get it right, then you can't expect your fans to go and show up and support you.
No.
You can't.
No. Not in the slightest. And you bring it up, certain excuses made for the Titans. I feel like there are certain things that just let fly with the Titans and other things, and maybe in organizations don't fly. Like, I keep hearing, oh, well, you can't rebuild an entire offensive line in the offseason. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but you can get better.
Yeah.
And that's not what happened with the Titans. They didn't get better, specifically at that position. And that's, of course, the Titans' Achilles heel. The other aspect of what Michael Lombardi brought up there, he said you can't possibly go into 2024 feeling comfortable with Will Levis as your quarterback.
See, now that I don't, they're not there yet because of the situation that's in front of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You can't get a true evaluation of, like, who this quarterback is because, hell, if that was the case, we would have thought the same thing for Trevor Lawrence, even though Trevor Lawrence is still sort of up and down, but he's much better than when he was with Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. So, listen, if we wanted to just, you know, do it from that standpoint, like, even though we know that this is horrible, but we're going to say, well, we're not sold on the quarterback because he's not able to do is, you know, he's not doing the things that we're asking him to do. Well, he's not doing the things you're asking him to do because of the guys in front of him. You know, so if Jacksonville would have felt that way, they would have got rid of Trevor Lawrence, and they would have been not good. You know, the Titans can't think like that in this situation. You got to give him a fair shot. You saw some good things with Will Levis, and you saw some things that he needs to improve on. We need to remind Lombardo in regards to Will Levis. He started at he got the job. What we were in, what, five games in, six games in, somewhere around seven games in. So it wasn't like, you know, this guy had a whole year and then his second year, and now you're looking at him like, man, we're not, this guy, he's not the dude. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, I can understand that. If you went through a whole year with him as a starter and your offensive line was better, but the quarterback just couldn't get it.
Right.
Okay, we got to move on. But that's not the case in this situation. He took over after six or seven games. You know, with an offensive line that is horrible. And I hate saying that. I truly hate saying that. But it's horrible.
It's horrible.
You know, so you're putting them behind a horrible offensive line. You don't have as much speed on the outside that you need. How is he then supposed to go out and do his job, you know, consistently at a clip that you want him to do it? Every time it seemed like he was either a rushed pass, or he was getting flushed or flustered, or he was on his backside. There wasn't too many times where he just dropped back and had a clean pocket set there for a couple seconds. Bam, hit the guy. When he had a chance to do it.
When he does, he can make plays.
He make plays. So that part I don't agree with.
I don't agree with it either. I don't know if it's something that I'm missing that everyone else is seeing that I just don't see with Will Levis. But Michael Lombardi's point was, you got two young quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. I disagree.
No, they don't have two young. They have two young quarterbacks, but they ain't using that other guy.
Well, Levis is your quarterback.
Exactly.
Is he your quarterback for the next 15 years? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's your quarterback in 2024, and I feel pretty good about that. Coming up next, we'll chat with Tim Hasselbeck. Interested to get his perspective from the outside looking in, who has such a pulse on the NFL, how that their feeling about Mike Vrabel is. Has that changed at all throughout the course of the season? Tim Hasselbeck will join us coming up next. Mike Vrabel will speak with the media in 15 minutes. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5-106 for the game. I'm bringing Hasselbeck. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Normally, Tim joins us at noon, but we've got a Vrabel press conference at noon. So Tim is joining us a little bit earlier this week. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. We were just discussing what we heard Michael Lombardi say on the GM Shuffle podcast. Talked about how if you're the Titans, you can't feel good about going into 2024 with Will Levis. You got two young quarterbacks and no starting quarterback. Tim, I disagree with that sentiment, but what is your perspective on that?
Well, first, I just want to say, like, as a coach in town, to get bumped for another coach in town, like, I hope you appreciate my flexibility.
Absolutely. I mean, we appreciate your flexibility.
Like, you know, I mean, just, you know, like, okay, I get it. He's bad coaching the Titans. I get it. All right. Here's what I would say in terms of you know, the idea that you can't go into next season with just Will Levis. I'm fine with that. But I would say I don't think it's unreasonable to say that you're going in and he's got a legitimate chance to win the starting quarterback job. Like, I don't think you need to go sign somebody and they are the anointed starter and Will Levis just has to take a back seat to him. I actually think that there's been enough good from him that I think he should have an opportunity to be the starter. So I think that puts you in an interesting situation, you know, where if they're, was a new GM or new coach or something like that, they might be more inclined to go find somebody else right away. But I don't know. I wouldn't write Will Levis off so quickly. And then in terms of just some of the other stuff, in terms of Mike Vrabel and New England, but I generally think that guys who are reporting on the league that still have tight connections on the league, you know, when they say something as significant as look, Mike Vrabel's not happy in Nashville, and there's a New England connection that's strong. I don't think that that's just made up. Now, I don't know Mike Lombardi. I know his history. I know who he's worked with. I think that's a significant statement.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, and Innsworth High School's new head football coach. Tim, what up until this point now, I know Will got hurt in the first quarter of last week's game or in the second quarter. But because of this offensive line, and I'm listening to Lombardi, and my thing is, listen, you can't get a true evaluation of this quarterback. Why? Because of what's in front of him. You know, to me, he's developed some bad habits. And I know he can work himself out of it, but he developed some bad habits. Have you seen a situation or do you know of a situation where, you know, the blame was put more so on the quarterback than, you know, the people in front of him, whether it be the offensive line or receivers? Because, yes, Will needs to get better, but how many quarterbacks do you know would be able to thrive under the situation that Will is in?
I don't think a lot. Like, so to answer your question directly, like, have I seen a quarterback where he's getting the brunt of the criticism and it was like, wow, we got a lot of other issues going on? Like, yeah, Eli Manning. Eli Manning's, you know, he started the second half of his first year, and then he was the starter his, you know, second year, and really years two and three for Eli, they weren't sure about him in New York. And he was on the back page of the New York Post every week, basically insinuating that, you know, he wasn't his brother and he was probably a bust and it wasn't going to work out. And we had all kinds of issues at the time with just moving different players along the offensive line. We let a guy go in free agency. We were playing like a 40-year-old, you know, right tackle at one point. I mean, we had so many issues. And look, we had a receiver group that was in transition. So I think we see all of this. I think when you see all that, I think there's no question that the supporting cast has a huge impact on like how you're seen, how you're evaluated. And that's why I'd be careful to just write Will Levis off so quickly.
Tim, you've seen a lot of games at the end of seasons. I felt like, realistically, with what the Titans have to work with right now, so many of their top players one by one going down, laying an egg is not that surprising, really, against Houston. But I saw a really strong reaction somewhere where if you look at the individual offensive linemen they have out there, it's going to be hard for them to compete for sure, and I think the same will be the case of next week. So how much stock can you really put into how competitive this particular team is when you're evaluating the coaching staff and changes that may or may not need to be made?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to, and I don't know that ownership or, you know, decision makers, you always truly understand, like, hey, look at where we are in the offensive line. I mean, they ran a power play last week down there. I think it was a short yardage situation. And I'm telling you what, like, the knockback and just the disaster up front, it was like, wow. Like, you don't typically see that. And so, you know, I guess I would just say, like, I'm never big on, like, we're in the last, you know, whatever, 2-3 games of a season, sometimes 1-2 games of a season. And these games are the games that we are using to decide if we're keeping our head coach or not. Like, I don't subscribe to that. I think there's a much bigger body of work, you know, over the years that I think is evidence to, all right, like, is it the coach or have we hit a tough spot with our personnel? And so I guess, you know, I'm probably giving away my answer there a little bit. Like, for me with Mike Vrabel, I know he's a good coach, and I know that if he was available, teams that have openings would be dying to talk to him. And I'm not saying that sometimes a change of scenery doesn't help everybody, but I don't look at it and say, hey, Mike Vrabel is the problem with the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I mean, it could be not. You know, it's just so much that's going on with this team right now to try to pinpoint you know, that one exact thing other than the offensive line, it's going to be hard because they got problems across the board with this team. And I would have never thought that of a Tennessee Titan team. But with that being said, do you think next year is the year where either, you know, they need to get this right in the offseason with free agency and the draft? And if they don't, then we may have to move in another direction, because I don't think they can go 3 years in a row. And I'm not even talking about winning AFC South. I'm just saying not making the playoffs and not being a competitive team out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying, like, hey, you're a good coach and so, you know, you have a runway forever. But what I am saying, I mean, shoot, look, part of the reason we're talking about this is, like, a lot of people believe that Bill Belichick, with, you know, three down years, is about to get fired, even though I think everyone would agree he's been the best ever. So, no question. Look, he's on, you know, he's under the microscope right now. He's probably on the hot seat right now. And there's no doubt about it that the seat is even hotter next season with, you know, a lot of areas that would need to show improvement for him to be able to keep his job. So, yeah, I'm not saying that, look, he's a good coach and he needs to stay no matter what. But I think what I am saying is, if I sit here and I look at what we've seen from the team this season, and I think about the stuff that we knew coming into the year, the fact that they've drafted a quarterback fairly early the last 2 years, the fact that they, you know, traded away, and maybe in some cases not by his doing, you know, the best or, you know, the better players on the roster, like, I'm not looking at it like Mike Vrabel just totally let this team down.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Again, Tim, appreciate your flexibility today. Happy New Year, and we'll chat next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
All right.
See ya.
Appreciate it, Tim. All right, coming up next, we'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel at the podium. Caroline Willie D. Mace. This Monday, tune in at 6:30 p.m. as Washington and Michigan face off in the College Football Playoff National Championship game, only on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.